Good morning. I bet you anything, if I push the phone line, I could probably talk to somebody. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning.
That's called a world record phone call.
Pardon?
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm having some urinary problems, and I was wondering what I could do to treat it, whether it's fungal or bacterial. I'm not sure.
Now, what kind of problem did you say you're having?
Urinary. It's like I'm not comfortable. There's no burning, but I'm just not comfortable. As my bladder feels, it's not a good feeling.
Do you still have your uterus?
Yes.
Okay. There's a compound called lauric acid. It's found in coconut oil.
Uh-huh.
So some women can tell me just very, very easily after they try this whether it works or not. It's just as simple as rubbing coconut oil generously into the female reproductive area and also into the skin that's directly over the bladder. It's a very old school technique. It's been around a long time, but some people report fungus goes away and bacterial infections go away when you do that. So that's easy and that's cheap. You could do that.
Just regular coconut oil and rub it.
Yes,
On the skin and then down in the
Into the female area. The reproductive area, yeah. I'm kind of using code talk because it's a family program, so if kids are listening, I don't want a little boy that's 3 years old running to the breakfast table saying, "Daddy, Daddy, what does this word mean?" Anyway, but if you will, you can try that and you can use it as much as you want. It's going to be a piece of cake. The other thing that I like very much, sometimes if I'm trying to change the... actually, let me start over here. If the pH of the sinus tissue becomes slightly acidic, that's where you start getting this thick, gunky snot that builds up, and that is just a ripe breeding ground for infection. It's just no way around it. So if a person blows their nose and they have green stuff coming out, you don't go, "Oh, I think that's an allergy." No, that's an infection of some kind. Or if it's yellow, or if it's white chunks of gunk. Anyway, I know that's a horrible topic first thing in the morning on Saturday.
That's okay.
But when you have an acidic pH within the urine, you're going to be more prone to having urinary tract irritation and infections. And so baking soda is like an old-time remedy. We're going to do a pop quiz today. Has baking soda been around for 3,000 years or for 12,000 years? No, I'm just joking, but it's been around forever. If you want to call it sodium bicarbonate, that's fine, baking soda. But if you were to take maybe just a fourth of a teaspoon to maybe a half a teaspoon of baking soda, stir it in water, then what you can do is you can drink that.
Okay.
Not that long ago, a woman calls me on the phone and she says, "Dr. Morgan, I've got severe strep throat." And she said, "I'm about to die." I don't think she was really about to die, but she was just trying to express how badly she felt with the strep throat.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things that I gave her, she said, "That doesn't even make sense." But what I told her to do was just fast on watermelon only for 2 days to see if we can just flush the entire system. And so if you were to do like a 2-day watermelon fast, oh my word, that would give your body an opportunity to flush the entire urinary tract from the kidneys and the ureters and the bladder all the way down.
Okay.
So that's one idea. The other thing that I like very much, oh my word, I'm in love with garlic. Garlic has got to be one of the greatest drainage remedies for the bladder of all time. I'm not trying to say that it works perfectly for every woman, but if you use odorless garlic, probably not going to see much of a difference, because the active ingredients that give off that strong garlic odor, that's what works.
Uh-huh.
So we're talking about garlic capsules. It's just from raw garlic, and they smell strong. So taking garlic can be one of those great, great things to make a huge, huge difference. Another thing that I like very, very much is just a simple concept. If you have a grandson, and he's 3 years old, and you don't know where he is in the backyard, and then you look behind a tree and you see a stream of water coming out that's about 8 feet long, you go, "Oh, that's where he is. He's going to the bathroom." So you can spot him. But You realize the anatomy of a boy or a man is a little bit different than that of a female. The, the ureter or the urethra is quite a bit longer in a man, but it's shorter in a woman. So when a woman goes to the bathroom, what you're trying to do is you're just trying to get that concept of when you bear down to go to the bathroom to urinate, you want to press with enough force to where you can really flush all that debris out.
Okay.
I remember a woman at church years ago. She would start her car every single time with the accelerator depressed all the way down. And I have never heard an engine race so hard in my entire life. And I remember man after man tried to go up to her and say, "Now, Miss Jewel, if you do that, it's going to be hard on the engine. You know, you don't have a lot of oil lubricating the parts." Nope, my mechanic told me to do this. That's what I'm doing. I thought to myself... Anyway, but you're trying to bear down with extra force to flush and blast everything out.
Okay.
The other thing that you could really look at, there's an herb called Uva Ursi, U-V-A, and then U-R-S-I. Sometimes it's called Kinnick. I'm really just saying that to be funny, even though that's what it's called. It's called Kinnick. But who calls it that? I don't know anybody except me. Trying to be funny on a Saturday morning.
I have heard the Uva Ursi.
Yeah, the other, well, its other name is called Kinnick.
Okay.
If you go to the health store and say, "Dr. Morgan says get some Kinnick, they're not going to have any idea what you're talking about. But Uva Ursi, yes. Cranberries, they're awesome for this. So if you want to get cranberry capsules or cranberry pills, probably a really good idea.
I got some Azo.
Yeah, there you go.
Capsules.
Well, that's it then.
And just drink more water. And the pyridium isn't going to hurt me. It's supposed to just help with the comfort.
Yeah, probably so.
It makes your urine orange.
Absolutely, it does. That would freak me out. But yes, you're right.
Okay, so. A rub the coconut oil.
Yes, ma'am.
Slice the garlic.
Bear down when you go to the bathroom to urinate to kind of make sure you flush every last toxic E. coli out of you.
Okay. And the watermelon, Uva Ursi, garlic.
Baking soda, if you want to do that.
Okay. And is your goal to make the, you want it acidic? Because it kills organisms better.
No, I was just trying to say when your body is overly acidic, that's when you have more infections.
Okay.
So baking soda is slightly alkaline. And I never, in all fairness, I never even mentioned that. I just kind of skimmed over it real fast. Forgive me. I'm really bad about that. But baking soda has, it's alkaline.
Uh-huh.
And so what baking soda does is it soothes the kidneys to where they can function better, and it soothes the bladder. That's probably what I should have said, but it didn't until now.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to flush out all the acidity in the bladder.
Well, I really appreciate your input.
You're welcome. I hope it helps you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Bye-bye. Alrighty, this program is Health Essentials. If you haven't heard it before, we're going to talk about anything related to health and how to improve it. It sounds like a good plan to me. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. I have just a brief story that I want to tell you. Well, we'll go to the phone lines first. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning.
How are you, ma'am?
Oh, I'm doing fine this morning. Thank you.
Great.
How are you?
Excellent, thanks.
Good. Dr. Morgan, I have a question about my, I suffer with dizzy spells. Can you hold on for a moment? I'm going to close the door and turn this radio down.
Sure, thanks.
Sorry about that.
Oh, that's no problem.
I was listening to the lady before this call, and it was very interesting, so I turned it up. Okay, so my problem is I have dizzy spells. And,
could you describe them to me just to make sure we're on the same page? What do you mean a dizzy spell?
Okay, so my dizzy spells, whenever I can feel a dizzy spell coming on and I end up biting them, but I have, I'll I can stop them if I can catch it in time, and I can, then the dizziness just stops. But let me just back up a little bit, because this has been going on for probably about 30 years.
Oh my word. So you're pretty familiar with these, aren't you?
Right. Yes. And but it's crazy. I've been at the doctors and I've had my different things checked out. But 2 years ago, my last one that lasted about 2 months, I ended up, I was diagnosed that I have crystals. They call them crystals in your ears.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I had to be made to get dizzy to get better, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what I had to do. I had to do these exercises where I had to tilt my head back and get dizzy. My doctor had to make me dizzy before I could actually start getting better.
Did the doctor say you had rocks in your head?
Yes.
No, I'm sorry.
And my husband. And of course, my husband
No, 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 no. We don't want to go there.
Right, no. But crystals in my ears. I couldn't believe this. But by doing those exercises, I mean, it did help. I mean, gradually they went away. But
was it called the Epley procedure?
Yes.
Okay.
There's a better name for it, but I can remember it by crystals now, because I was like, what? Crystals in my ear?
You're not trying to tell me your first name is Crystal, are you?
No.
Okay.
No.
So you did the Epley maneuver.
Yes, and that is the worst. The thing about it, though, is when I had that done 2 years ago, I will never forget that. And in the last couple of weeks, I feel one coming on, and I'm trying to figure out what is causing these spells to get really bad, because I can handle the small ones that come and I can stop them. But this, for the last couple of weeks, I just know that I'm about to have another big spell. And I just feel it. When I lay down and I turn to my left, I can see my room will start spinning.
Oh, that would not be fun.
No, and so then I turn to my right, and I can start slowing things down. And I've learned to get up slowly, and it's really affecting how I feel, because it's very depressing to get up and feel that way, because I love to walk. I walk about 3 miles, three or four times a week. Out at the track, I'm active. Things like that don't bother me, but it's when I'm laying down.
Oh yeah, and
I get up, or I move, and especially to the left side. And so now I've had I had a stress test done 2 years ago when I got this dizzy spell, because I thought, wow, is it my heart? And I got a good check. Yeah, I got checked out with that, and I'm perfectly fine in that area. My heart's fine. And so I just don't know what else. I'm just trying to think, is there anything out there maybe that I just don't want
to
get on?
What is a girl supposed to do if you go to a doctor and he doesn't really provide any information to help you?
Yeah. What am I supposed to do?
Well, I have a couple ideas for you.
Okay.
All right. Years ago, you don't know this about me, but I'll reveal it. I really seem to be highly, highly attracted. I have a natural affinity from reading information that was written a long time ago. I almost prefer that to the new information. I love the new information, don't get me wrong. And I'll read everything that I can get my hands on that's relevant and I think that I can use to help somebody. But back in the 1920s, osteopathic, and I'm just kind of making it short and sweet to the point, but osteopathic physicians, they would gladly receive a body that was donated to science, you know, as part of their medical training. And so if a person said, you know what, I'm 75 years of age, I'm about to leave, I want to sign my body over and give it to the osteopathic school of medicine. So they have the young students and doctors can be trained on human anatomy, and so they can do experiments. Now, when somebody donates their body to science in that type of medical setting, it's going to be it's probably going to be either research or they're going to use it as a teaching aid or a teaching tool. And so when someone's 75 to 80 years of age, they're probably going to have just about every little disease that you can think of. And so when you have these young osteopathic doctors learning human anatomy and physiology, they usually have what's called a cadaver lab. And in the cadaver lab, I know it's not pleasant, but they literally will try to teach these young students in a real-world sense human anatomy and physiology. And so what these doctors used to do is they'd read the chart on the cadaver sitting in front of them in the very cold dissection laboratory.
Mm-hmm.
And they would say, Mrs. Smith, she died at age 78, and we think that she suffered horribly from arthritis or rheumatism, however you want to say it. And so one of the things the osteopathic doctors used to do is they would essentially, well, let me start over here. You know, like if you went to some place like Arkansas and there was a field full of geodes and you said, oh, these things are too cool, I want to take them home. And you take your, a hammer and chisel and you crack those suckers open and you say, oh my goodness, look at the crystals inside of here. This one's purple or this one's blue or this one's kind of pink. But it would just be amazing what you find inside of that rock. But, I mean, you know what a geode is, don't you?
Yes.
Sorry, I'm bad about that, just popping off about something, expecting everybody just to follow me. But a geode, I mean, you could look at it inside of them and see all these very interesting crystals. But what they would do is, they would say, oh my goodness, look at the size of that knuckle joint on her finger. So instead of taking a hammer and chisel to crack it open, they would just take a bandsaw and probably cut it just right down the middle, and then just examine the severely arthritic knuckle joint. And I know what they found, and I find this very intriguing, but they almost found, every single time, a very high accumulation of crystal formation. And you know as well as I do, a finger or a knuckle is not a geode. And it's not a cave where stalactites and stalagmites are like growing from mineral deposits. And so they'd find all these crystals in there. And I know this to be true. It's not any different than what you're dealing with. Your body mm-hmm. thinks it's a good idea to deposit crystals somewhere along that, just somewhere along the ear. I'm not saying I have the exact location, so whether it's the crystals or the rocks are forming on your inner ear or around where the bones are, what is it like, the anvil, the stirrup, and the hammer? They're teeny tiny bones, but if you have crystal formation anywhere around the cochlea or the inner ear or anything to do with the tympanic membrane, oh my mm-hmm. goodness, it's going to completely change the dynamics of balance.
That makes sense. I mean, I didn't realize whenever she said that I had crystals in my ears, I really didn't even look into that. I just kind of...
That's why you need a genius like me to explain. Explain all these rock formations, but what they would do.
Yeah, but I didn't know that happens in a human body.
It can occur anywhere. Oh my word! And so, if I have somebody that walks in the office and they say, "I have not been able to do normal activity," and I'm just going to say a shoulder joint, mm-hmm. and they tell me this has been this way for like 20 years, I start thinking, I wonder what's going on here. And so the story that I started to tell before you called, I mean, I'm glad you called. I'd prefer talking to a real human being than just babbling, for my own. But the lady was telling me a story. And when I examined her month before last, I just kind of looked her in the eye and said, ma'am, I think one of the dominant issues that you're working with right here or that you're dealing with is you have a liver that's underperforming or it's a bit sluggish or it's not working right. I didn't say it was sick. I never said that.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't like that. I don't like having to pronounce, that your kidneys are in failure or your liver's failing you or your heart's about to conk out. I don't like that stuff. I would rather focus my energy on what are we going to do to restore the function of this organ. And so one of the things that I did, this was completely unexpected. I didn't anticipate asking this question. But she told me when she came in for the second visit, she said, oh my goodness. She said, I can tell you the effect was immediate. I said, what? She said, I didn't realize it, but every time I'd lay down to go to sleep at night, I just felt this soreness in my middle back between my shoulder blades, and I kind of had to, shift and move around, and it was just always hurting there all the time, and I just thought that was normal. But as soon as we started working on the liver, that went away, and now I'm completely comfortable in my back. But part of me thinks that when you have dysfunction in one organ, and of course in your case, you're just going to have to give me liberty. It's not like you're here in front of the control booth where I can actually examine you and get a little bit more precise information. But I tell you what, I'm looking to your kidneys, and I'm looking to your liver as not removing this the crystallized waste, and so it has no choice, but it's going to accumulate in one location over the other. Now, you know as well as I do, human beings, they all have strengths and they all have weaknesses, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think we know, listening to Roy Morgan talk for 21 years, that I've got plenty of weaknesses, but I've also got strengths. I've got things that I like, and I've got things that are probably a little bit more challenging for me. If you had me take a analytical geometry test today or advanced calculus, I may flunk it. Now, if I studied really, really hard for 3 years, I might pass it. But that just doesn't come easy to me. It's just not my cup of tea. Now, trigonometry, I think I can figure that out because it makes sense. But you have crystal formation. I don't know the reasons why, but one of the types of crystal that I think that I deal with over and over and over again is going to be one called calcium oxalate. Another one's called uric acid or urate crystals. You ever heard of those?
No.
Okay, well, let me give you...
I have heard of the calcium, but not the other.
Let me give you an example. If somebody walks in the door and they say, would you look at the size of my knee or look at the size of my big toe, and it's red and hot, I'm going, oh, my word, they probably have gout. And gout is really a perfect example for what we're dealing with today, or with your question, because you get this excessive buildup of crystals because the kidneys aren't removing them. Anything that prevents the kidneys from working efficiently at filtering out crystallized waste, at least that's what my thought process is. I could be totally wrong about this, but I have two pieces of homework for you. Number one, I want you to look up foods that are high in what's called calcium oxalate.
Calcium?
Oxalate. O-X-A-L-A-T-E, I think.
L-A-T-E, okay.
I think. Yeah, calcium oxalate. Yeah. Hey, have you ever heard of kidney stones?
Yes.
Guess what those stones are made of? They're made of calcium oxalate.
Calcium oxalate.
I mean, but you don't know this, but before I was on the air live this morning, I was reading this research about how excessive intake of calcium blocks absorption of zinc. And so you might be able to take zinc in, but because all the calcium supplementation, you block that, and guess what you get? You get calcified plaque that builds up in your arteries. Not a good deal. That's one of the reasons why when women take a lot of calcium supplements, like over 1,000 milligrams a day, they're just asking for plaque to form somewhere. And the way that calcium forms, for example, I told you about calcium oxalate. Well, there are plenty of foods out there that have very, very high amounts of calcium oxalate. And then, to me, this is going to be very interesting when you read what those foods are to see if maybe you're eating a whole lot of them. Because we have strengths and we have weaknesses. And some people do not filter out oxalate crystals like other people do, and so they accumulate in a weak area. And it could have been as simple as you had an ear infection when you were 2 years old in that ear, and there's scar tissue, and scar tissue is just a very easy place for oxalate crystals to form. Going back to gout just for a second. All right. The kidneys are supposed to remove uric acid. I don't even know how many people I have seen over the years that once they stopped drinking sweet tea, all their pain and inflammation of their feet just magically went away. Do your feet feel good?
Yeah, they do.
Can you walk barefoot across the pasture?
Yeah, I probably could, because I like to walk barefooted. I mean, my feet feel fine, but not across the pasture, no.
Do you have any calcium deposits on your knuckle joints at all anywhere?
No, I don't.
And your fingers aren't bent and twisted and malformed because of arthritis?
No.
All right, well, I have a sales pitch for you. Besides you studying uric acid and calcium oxalate and just going on the internet and finding out what foods those are, what I want you to do is I have a sales pitch for you. Tell me what your favorite color is.
Blue.
Well, that wasn't what I wanted you to say. No, I want you to say yellow. I don't think anybody's ever told. But you know what a lemon is, don't you?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Lemons and limes, they contain substances that help dissolve these acidic crystals that build up in the body. Mm-hmm. And so you absolutely have nothing to lose whatsoever. If I could talk you into putting several drops, several times a day, of what's called ear oil in your left ear, and then right before you go to bed at night, laying on your right side and putting about 2 to 3 drops of castor oil in your ear, and maybe 1 drop of lemon juice, just 1 drop. But I would have you rub.
Really?
What'd you say?
I said really. I mean, so.
I should be used to people
saying that to me because.
I'm sorry.
That's all that happens all day long.
Lemon. Well, okay. Hey, I'm like,
yes,
that's why,
yes, really.
Because I want to try home remedies. See, I need to. I'd take the apple cider vinegar and honey every morning before I leave to work. That's my drink that I, and it's just a little. It's just a little cup of it. I don't even drink. But I have been doing that for years and years, and I just feel like that keeps my kidneys and my, like, I just kind of flush everything out. And I haven't, I mean, praise the Lord, I mean, I have not, I'm in pretty good health considering when it comes to my liver and my kidneys that I know of. But you explaining the crystals and all, maybe I do have, and they're not catching.
Well, you know, the thing that we're working on is we're working on the hidden things that no one else has thought of. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
So you're just... go ahead. Sorry.
Okay. I have to throw this in real quick because I sit at work all day, and I do walk around. I'm a new accountant rep at a bank, and so I sit a lot. And about 6 months ago, my hips, in the back of my thighs, just started aching really bad, and as I get up from the chair is when it hurts the most. So I went to my supervisor, and I'm like, I believe we need new chairs and all. I've gotten the new chair. It still has not helped. My next step is that I have to go see my doctor and let her know about this new pain that I have.
I promise you, this pain means nothing. It is not your body communicating some problem. It's not. Just ignore it. just turn off the warning light on your engine. It's about to blow.
I know.
What could go wrong?
I know. And the thing about it, though, is the older I get, because, I mean, I'm starting to feel some aches and pains that I didn't. Never had before, but I know that it's an age, it's a process, it's getting older.
Of course.
But I do, you know, if I go walking doesn't hurt my hips or the back of my thighs, and it's only the back of my thighs, it's my,
yeah,
when
but
I
this is, this is a gold mine, though, I'm telling you, because if we can trace back where the pain's coming from and what it's associated with, that would just be a gold mine of information.
Oh, yeah.
There is a muscle called the hip flexor or the psoas muscle, and it has the highest correlation to kidney dysfunction. And I realize you just have to trust me and take my word for that, because even though I can say that with authority, you're going to go, well, I've never heard that before, and I haven't heard that lemon juice dissolves crystals, and I didn't know about that, and no one's explained that. Well, there's a first time for everything.
And what's that called? Hip what?
It's a hip flexor. And that's the one that just becomes completely exhausted and worn out when you sit all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're sitting all day long, you're just begging for that muscle to become shortened and weakened. And it's very easy to test. I mean, I can't describe it to you. You just lay on your back, extend your leg up at 45 degrees, and somebody pushes your leg outward at 45 degrees. And if it's holding, that'll do a great job. But if not, it'll go weak. But it makes me think of the kidneys every single time.
Yeah.
Anyway, but so if you have discomfort in your hips or the backside of your thighs, I mean, that means something. Your body is doing everything it can to tell you.
Yeah.
What I want you to do is when you go to the doctor, say, now, I haven't had these symptoms and all of a sudden I have them. What do you think that means, doctor? What's your plan to figure it out, and what's your recommendation? See what they say.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been putting it off.
Have you ever heard the phrase, a physician cannot treat that which he does not know or understand?
Yeah, I sort of.
Let me tell you how smart I am. Sir, what did your doctor say about that? He said, don't worry about it. It's probably a virus. Going, okay. Did he examine you? Nope.
Nope.
I hear that nope. all day long, every single day.
Yeah.
Believe me, I've got tons of room for improvement, and I recognize that. But if I had, if you heard every story that I hear when I say, did your doctor actually examine you? And they say, no, no, and no. It's like a consistent theme. Now, I'm not in charge of physicians. I can't stop them from examining you thoroughly. I can't, nor do I want to.
Right.
But unless you actually examine, but what if you don't understand it and you don't know anything about it? Is that going to limit your ability to examine someone effectively? Probably. Anyway, so yeah.
Is this kind of driving
you crazy, though?
Yeah.
Now, tell me again, where's the discomfort coming from?
Okay, so, yeah, my hips and my bottom, my back of my thighs.
You mean like in the hamstrings?
No, the back of my thighs, upper, like my rear, okay, when I sit down.
That's what I was trying to say. I just didn't do a good job of it. Your hamstrings are on the back side of your thighs.
Yeah.
Quadriceps are on the interior or the front, and the hamstrings are in the back. That's what I was getting at.
Okay, got you. Okay,
sorry.
So see, I don't know my body. But that's why I'm going to make that appointment, because I was thinking, though, that just by walking and exercising and staying active, that I would sort of, it would go away, but it's not going away. I wake up in the mornings and I can't even walk. It's almost like I'm just so stiff. I mean,
have you been hobbled?
Am I hobbling, or have I been hobbled?
Yeah, no, I'm joking.
Yeah,
yeah, but you can't walk smoothly and easily without looking like before.
No.
So there's a glitch in there.
About 35 years ago, 37, 38, I was in a bad car accident and I fell. I flew out of the sunroof and landed on my butt and broke my, you know, I remember breaking my tailbone, and I got some cuts and lacerations and all, but it was a pretty bad car accident. And I remember years ago, because I was like 23 then, and my doctor said, as I got older, that I was going to start feeling these different pains that I could wake up. Well, and I always go back to that. I always think, is this what he meant? Is this? Because I had a bad, pretty bad bruised up right under my, the crease of my leg, well, by my hip. You know, I had a bad, I didn't break my hip, but it was pretty bruised up then. And I, for many years, I had a dentation just right there where I had hit, where I landed, I guess. And so what I'm getting at is that, so now that I'm 50 plus, I'm...
58?
57.
Well, I was just judging by your voice. Sorry, I did a bad job.
Oh, no. That's okay. But so anyway, so now every once in a while, I feel like, okay, so this, I moved the wrong way, and I just think, well, is this where, you know, got so jolted and got so banged up that I'm starting to feel all these little pains coming back. And every once in a while, these dizzy spells go back to my head concussion that I had many, many, many years ago, because that's the exact feeling that I have of that spinning. You know, when you have a head concussion, I don't know if you've ever had one, but...
Yes, I don't like it at all.
No, the room, I mean, everything is just spinning just so fast.
Yeah, and that's a real sick feeling. I can relate to that.
Yeah, and that's how, if I let my dizzy spell, that's why I called this morning, because if I let that dizzy spell hit me full blown, it's going to probably knock me out again for another month or so, because I can finally get out of it, but it's just, you know, I'm kind of wanting to look, do some home remedy things or figure this out. And,
well, you can certainly work on the very things I've told you about and give me some feedback and let me know if it works for you. But as far as I know, everything I've told you is completely non-toxic. It's safe. You won't get addicted to narcotics if you try these things.
Right. This ear oil and this castor oil and lemon drop, is that just like a little drop or something? Or
exactly, yeah.
Yeah, drops.
Yeah, just
should I do them? Yeah, should I do them a different, like, do your oil maybe one night and then maybe castor oil another?
Whatever you like, whatever your heart leads you to do, I'll be glad to see what your results are.
So there's not really, that can't possibly, I mean, that ain't going to hurt a thing, so why not? That's kind of how I look at it.
I mean, well, that's not entirely true. If you put garlic oil in your ear, your husband may say, I was just about to kiss you on the ear, and I've decided now not so much anyway.
Yeah,
okay,
exactly.
That could happen. But you know what? You may want that effect, though. I mean, for all I know, there could be a werewolf in the woods, and you may want to put that garlic oil on.
Yeah. I think I'll stick with the lemon drops. I feel like that better.
You know, we don't have to do everything to please him, do we? No, but that you can always try that. But that's the main thing that I'm concerned about. And so my thought process.
But I'll get back with you and just, let you know, see if that is.
All right. Sounds like a winner.
Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome. It'll be a very interesting experiment. I can't wait to hear your results.
All right, Dr. Morgan. Thank you very much.
That's you. Thank you, ma'am. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All righty. If you'd like to join me on the radio, there's a phone line officially open at 903-586-5257. You can just get right in. If nobody calls, I'm going to read very exciting research and information that really intrigues me. And we're all about intriguing. No, there's a phone call. We better do that. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan.
How are you?
I am fine. How are you this morning?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for asking, ma'am.
Sounds like it's going a good morning. Okay, question for you. I have pre-diabetes, but what I do have is I notice that I have leg pain from the knee down, like in that lower calf area, and it's slightly discolored. And I've had this for years, and I keep getting my blood sugar checked, and I'm not diabetic. And so I'm just curious what's going on.
Diabetes.
But why? Really?
Yeah.
Even though it's testing not?
Yeah.
So what should I do?
Well, there's several ways to look at this. What's the largest store that sells groceries and sporting goods and automotive supplies and clothes and everything else you can think of?
Walmart?
Yeah. If you and I were to walk and just sit on that bench by the front entrance, I can point out every diabetic that walks in the door.
I know.
Because all I have to do is just look at their legs. And, you know, the thing of it is, half these people, it could be 30 below zero, and they're still wearing sandals and shorts, and you can see those iron deposits. And so let me give you a couple of different ideas. You know what iron is, don't you?
Yes.
If you saw a sheet metal on a car where the paint's been scratched off and it got wet and moist, the next morning there'll be a little bit of rust there, right?
Yes.
And so that discoloration around your lower legs, those are just rust and iron deposits. And so the blood vessels are starting to break apart, and you're getting this hyperpigmentation. And so there's a lot of ways to say this. If you go to the doctor and they do like a blood test, you're telling me your blood sugar comes back at 70 all the time?
No. It's probably about 88.
88. Well, that's not a bad number.
No.
And so, it doesn't really mean that you have diabetes, but you have excessive oxidation. That I can say. And that's one of the things that I always think about with diabetes is when blood sugar is excessive, it oxidizes, meaning it rusts. And so if you have hyperpigmentation, I mean, that's just always a part and parcel to diabetes. But then again, diabetes is when there's too much oxidation. Have you ever heard the term, I'm going to take an antioxidant called vitamin C?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, do you take any iron supplements or calcium supplements?
No, none that I am aware of in my stuff.
Then you're probably not. But you've got this process. Are you pleased with the way that your legs feel and look?
No, they hurt. They keep me up at night. But this is just recently that they keep me up at night.
Right.
I just don't like the way they look. And they're heavy. I've never had heavy legs except for, say, the last 10 years.
Well, here's what I'm concerned about is you probably have, and I realize this is probably not going to make great sense, but when a woman tells me her legs hurt at night and they feel heavy, then I start thinking that there's one problem that we've got to solve. You're not,
kidneys.
Well, you're not getting enough oxygen to your legs.
I know that. Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
So, but are you taking any drugs of any kind?
No.
Okay. Do you exercise?
I have a farm. I figure that's exercise. Good
it
gravy.
Is. You're right. You're right. That is exercise.
I mean, I'm walking. I mean, one day I did 8 miles. Because I couldn't get my brain in order.
Well,
I kept walking back and forth all the time.
Let's just tackle it piece by piece. You can do a simple test later today when you're at home. If you were to just take a stopwatch or, you know, the stopwatch or the timer on your cell phone or whatever you've got, you know, the hands of a clock, all you have to do is just take a deep breath of air in without any practice and just hold it as long as possible. See how long you can hold it. And I always think that if somebody can only hold it for about 30 to 45 seconds, and that's pretty poor performance right there. How long can you hold your breath underwater when you're swimming? When you go into your pond and you swim underwater looking for that snapping alligator turtle so you can convert him to a pet, how long can you hold your breath?
Not long.
Well, and what I was getting at is that tells me there's probably a very poor oxygen level in the bloodstream. That's not, I'm not trying to criticize you. You know, I love you. I'm crazy about you. But the problem is, everything begins to deteriorate when you have a lack of oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's lots of ways of doing this, but your body desaturates at night, so your oxygen levels are probably going to drop about, I don't know, 5%. I mean, you can look up your own research, tell me what you come up with, but as a general rule, when you're up and you're moving and your legs feel better as long as you're moving, well, it ain't rocket science. Doesn't that tell you that you're getting more blood flow and more circulation and the ability?
I prefer to stand.
Yeah, how about that?
Mm-hmm. I've always preferred to stand.
But if you're moving or standing, do you have less leg pain?
Yes.
Okay, but when you lay down at night and you're perfectly still, that's when the pain comes on, right?
Or sitting.
Or sitting. Mm-hmm. Well, that may be an oxygen issue. Just as simple as that.
I feel it's being crimped off in my hips.
Well, and that's a great point, because number one, anytime that there's lower leg pain, usually the first place I go to is either the feet or I go up to the hips. And if the hips, there's a whole bunch of muscles in the hip. You've got the psoas muscle, that's your hip flexor.
Mm-hmm.
You have well, the other one that I like is called the sartorius, but you've also got the gluteus maximus, gluteus medius, gluteus minimus, piriformis. It's all easy to check out. But if those hip muscles are weak, then you're going to have a completely compromised leg, and it's going to, when I say compromised, it's not going to be held in its proper alignment, and so those muscles begin to swell and they retain water. It just cuts off your blood supply.
Mm-hmm.
These are all easy things to measure and to check. So,
are they as easy to fix?
Yeah, if you're willing.
Okay.
I mean, if you, well, and there's more to the story than what you realize, but yes, it is true, and I think you're right on track. Your kidneys are constantly licking and drinking and tasting and sensing the blood all day long to find out what your oxygen levels are. I'm completely convinced of that. And so it's like the oxygen sensor on your body. You've got your hypothalamus, you've got your liver, and you've got your kidneys. And so if your oxygen levels drop a little bit, your kidneys are supposed to say, hey, maybe we need a little bit more hemoglobin. That's why when you go and have a blood test, and I know I'm just simplifying it, there's one marker called HCT, and that just stands for hematocrit. You ever heard of that before?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Probably a $1 test, to be honest. So when they do a hematocrit, for a normal one for a woman, it's probably going to be around 38 to 40. But when that number goes up to 46, hey, it's without question, you have twice as many heart attacks because the blood's getting thicker and dirtier. And so when the blood's a little bit dirty, it doesn't hold oxygen the way it should. Now, personally, I think this can be easy to fix if we just take B vitamins. And you're going to tell me, but I'm taking B vitamins, Dr. Morgan.
Well, I'm going to tell you what I take because I have it right here, and I'm going to say, is this enough? Because that's the thing. It may say one capsule, but your body...
Well, let me
told me for years I have normal thyroid, and I said, not for my body.
Exactly. And you know what? That's a good point, because what is a regulator of oxygen in the cells? It's a thyroid. I'm trying to think.
I have low thyroid, yes.
What gland would have an influence on every cell in the body when it comes to oxygen levels? That's right. It's a thyroid. It just came to me.
Oh, gosh.
So let me just kind of cut to the chase. Number one, when it comes to supplementation, I'm just trying to be simple right here. Hawthorn is an amazing herb that increases oxygen in the blood. Just ponder that.
Okay, study. And how much would you take?
Well, here's what I don't know. I can't possibly be accountable for every brand that sells Hawthorn in the health food store or drug emporium or the granary or anywhere else. So I don't know which one you're referring to, and I haven't tried all of them. But what you can do is you can follow the manufacturer's recommendations, see if you get a good result.
Yeah. And a good result would be what? I'm breathing better. Legs are feeling better.
Yeah, that would be a starting point right there, because if your legs are crying out in pain, then if your hematocrit starts hovering around 46, then I start getting a little bit worried and scared.
Okay.
No, nobody needs to have a stroke here. Nobody needs to have a clot. This woman came to see me, and she said, I've got a bad problem. I said, what is it? She said, I've got these two clots in my leg, and I can't tolerate drugs. The doctor wants Coumadin, warfarin, rat poison, blood thinners, whatever you want to call them. And I'm saying, oh, well, that's not good. Well, why don't we try a little bit of Hawthorn? And, it was just a weird, bizarre story, but she came back and said... they retested her, and her clots are completely disappeared. I mean, I don't even understand how that happened. I mean, because that's impossible to happen without blood thinners, but I think she took Hawthorn. I mean,
I just bought it because you talked about it so much last week. So I bought it, and I've been on it for 3 days. So,
well, that should be enough to completely cure you.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, no, to answer your question.
No, I just started it, so I'm anxious to see. I didn't know how I would feel, what would make
well,
me
this
know
is,
that
this
it's working.
Is what, okay, if you have too little water, you're going to be dehydrated, right?
Correct.
If you drink way, way, way too much water, you're going to dilute your electrolytes and die of a heart attack, or your heart will just stop. Mm-hmm. And that just happened recently with a young pledge to a fraternity. He's dead.
Mm-hmm.
Gave him way too much water. Stupid idiots. But, you know, they think that's really funny to try to pour 3 gallons of water down a pledge's mouth over 15 minutes. It's just, but anyway, so we know that disease is too little tone or it's too much.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you have pain, I would try to say, why do you have too much, maybe too much tension in your lower legs? Now, the other thing that I would have to cover, and this is not meant to be personal, but if a woman has excessive stress above and beyond what she can manage and what she can handle, that's going to manifest with leg pain. Especially low.
Well, now you're kind of.
I know. I'm a bad person by mentioning that.
You had to bring it up.
Well, here, let me bring it. Let me
now
bring
you've
it.
Got me all stressed out.
Let me bring up my own story, and I'll just tell you real quick. When I was in chiropractic college, they told me that I'll never get through the clinic in a year because I had all these upperclassmen that already graduated from school, but they're still at the clinic because you have to get so many hours and complete them before you can pass. You just got all these different, you know, markers you got to get before you can graduate, so, or get your license or be eligible to take the boards. And so I was absolutely terrified. I'm not going to lie to you. Yes, I was very scared because my problem was I listened to all the genius upperclassmen that told me it was impossible to do. So what I did was I timed everything just right. I was very, very tactical and subtle. I listened to all the upperclassmen saying, yes, I'll be taking off for Thanksgiving a week and for Christmas holidays. And I thought, I'm not. These suckers are taking off. I'm going to hit every shift that I can and get through all this. I finished all my credits in about 1 month. It's supposed to take about a year just because I worked each and every shift. I was just willing. But you know what I did to myself in the process? My legs
and feet, blow out.
Yep, my legs and feet hurt so bad I could barely walk. Brutal, brutal pain. So I know this. I stressed myself out. That was 30 years ago, but I did a really good job of it. Yeah, it hurt every step. Killed me. My legs were aching all the time. But I know it now. I didn't know it then. But I know now it was because of just very high levels of stress hormones.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the reasons why when a beautiful young woman lays down in bed at night to fall asleep, and she's still awake for 2 hours later, that would be evidence there's too many stress hormones causing their body to be in the fight and flight mode.
Well, luckily I don't have that, but I do wake up in a few hours.
Well, but that would be a clue that you got too much adrenaline then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what does adrenaline do? It starts tearing down all the tissues at a faster rate.
That's
and I realize it's an equal opportunity disorder, male, female, even young person, old person. You apply too much stress and the body starts breaking down all the muscles. That's what adrenaline and cortisol do. They tear down your muscles.
Mm-hmm.
And if your body's breaking down faster than it is repairing, then you're going to have symptoms, and that's what you've got. And that's the way that you need to view this. If your body is breaking down faster than what it's able to repair, then you're going to have symptoms, and that's what we have. So the question is, what are we going to do about it? And I know what the easy conversation is. Dr. Morgan, tell me what to take. Take ashwagandha, vitamin C, magnesium, hawthorn. Take turmeric. Take boswellia. Yes, those are all good. The hard thing for me to talk about is how to control the thought life. Is it maybe I'm the only one that's hard four times?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure I'm the only one that has difficulties with proper thoughts always.
Yes, you are.
Yes, thank you. I am very, very unique that way, that occasionally I stress myself.
I'm just trying to solve everybody's problem at 3 in the morning, you know?
I know, yeah, me too.
Or some wacky dream wakes you up and you're like, what?
I can tell you exactly what my dream was last night. I was standing outside and a large iguana ran toward me and a man grabbed it. And his tail fell off. Now, I wasn't aware that the iguana's tail could fall off that easily. And he goes, oh, yeah. And I said, what is that? He said, it's an iguana. Well, what's it doing here? He said, well, they're everywhere around here in East Texas. I thought, what? Well, obviously, it was a dream.
Well, okay. Well, very interesting. So it all comes back to the same issue of adrenals. And stress and cortisol and
that's
thyroid and all that.
And see, what is the number one thing that just literally beats the heck out of the thyroid and suppresses it? Stress.
Stress, yeah.
That's why if you go to the doctor and say, okay, I know that your TSH may be normal, but I want you to do a new test for me. It's called reverse T3. Have you ever heard of that?
Yes. In fact, okay, go ahead.
Cortisol causes, see, T3 is one of the most active, pleasant thyroid hormones known to man. You feel really good and euphoric when T3 is up. You feel fabulous. You feel the way that you want to feel. And you think, man, I can do anything on the farm today. I can milk the cows. I can pet the goats. I can comb the cat hair. I can harvest the corn. You can do all those things when you have plenty of T3, but when you don't have it, you will feel like somebody pulled the carpet out from under you. You've got nothing. Nothing. But what cortisol does, cortisol spins T3 around, and you still have T3, but it reverses it, which means it's completely unusable by the body. And I realize that may be kind of a weird phenomenon, but it's very easy to have your physician measure reverse T3.
Okay.
And so
what I wanted to ask. I go to the doctor Wednesday, and so if I was to make an appointment with you, and I can get all my blood work done under insurance, what would you recommend?
Let's just talk about the simple things. They have one called a CBC with a differential, and they're going to check your hematocrit. I'm just trying to find out, is there a clue that your blood's a little bit thicker and dirtier than what it should be?
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, they have mean corpuscular volume. Now, this is just me talking. If I think it hits 93 or above, bingo, that's a B vitamin deficiency. I don't care what anybody else says. I'm not going to argue with them. I'm just into having people be happy and healthy and strong. So those are easy to do right there. They can also measure what's called homocysteine. Anything above 7.7, baby, is B vitamin deficiency. It's severe. Believe me, yesterday was just the greatest visit of all time. I had a woman that walked in. Her homocysteine levels are at 25.
Oh my gosh.
I don't think she even wanted to hear anything that I had to say about that.
Holy mackerel.
But, I mean, that's just about as scary as it gets, because when it starts getting above... See, currently, there's no test that evaluate that tells if a person's at risk for Alzheimer's, or is there?
But when homocysteine.
Yeah, that's right, it is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, did you know that homocysteine levels are exactly 40 times more predictive of developing problems than a cholesterol profile?
And cancer.
Yeah, how about that?
Mm-hmm.
And it just tells you the body.
It's an indicator.
It's a very good indicator. So
mm-hmm.
you can have a homocysteine done. If it were me, I would have them measure reverse T3.
Okay.
And if the doctor wants to do a cortisol or... have you ever heard of a test called fasting insulin?
Yes.
That might be interesting. Hemoglobin A1C in your case may be interesting.
Well, they do for me a... it starts with an F because of the spherocytosis. They do... It's called... Oh, it starts with an F. I can't do A1C. 3. It says it's like 4. I think it was at 3.4.
Like fructosamine or something?
Yes, that's okay. It, fructosamine. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So I get that one done.
I'm not sure what that is. I just thought I'd bring that up in case you had heard of it.
Yeah, no, that's what it's
yeah,
called.
Yeah, so, no, good. Very, very good. And see, the hard thing for doctors to measure, they're called AGEs. That's just an acronym for Advanced Glycation End Products. And that's the problem you have when you have rust deposits on your legs. And it just represents as any discoloration. I mean, I understand.
And see, I've brought this up to the doctors for 10 years, and
have
I
you
said,
ever heard
you know,
the, have you ever heard of the phrase "the physician
they
cannot
don't know
treat
anything.
What they don't know"? Well, no, they know a lot, but I can tell you over and over again, it's a consistent theme every day in the office. Why did the doctor do this test? Well, because they're trying to look for some diabolical disease.
Mm-hmm.
They don't look for anything
mm-hmm.
else, but they're looking for that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because they sent me to a heart doctor. My dermatologist found it. She's the one who told me to go. I go, and they said I'm totally fine. I said, then what's wrong with my legs? I know diabetics have this. What's wrong with my legs? Yeah, okay.
Well, and so what they're waiting on is they want to be able to look
episode.
In. That's right. They want you to have, I caught myself before I said that. I started to say they want you to have a catastrophic failure. That's not
mm-hmm.
what they want. But,
no,
but it's much easier to respond to a catastrophic failure and go, aha, we just now discovered diabetes, and you're thinking...
Now we need to give you statin drugs, and we need
that's
to,
right.
now we know how to help you. Now we know. We don't know the preventive part. We know how after it's here.
I might suggest to you, if you want to experience leg pain, take a statin. It'll cause leg pain. Anyway, I really enjoyed visiting with you. Let me know what all your lab results say, and I wish you the
very
best. So
those are the good ones to do. Okay,
yeah, those
sounds
are pretty good.
Good
right there.
Okay, hey,
good
thank you. Bless you. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bless you, too. Bye-bye. All right, I have exactly 15 seconds left. Sorry about that. Let me see. What can I talk about for 15 seconds? If you have any level of motivation to prevent going through life savings in order to respond to emergencies, then I suggest you learn about your body and take good care of yourself. This program is Health Essentials. I'm your host, Dr. Roy Morgan. Your health. See, in my mind, I think if they just get the information, they're going to chew on it and ponder it, and they're going to let it roll around their head, and it's going to become theirs because they're going to master it, and they're going to go through that learning curve. But in this world, that's just not the way it is. People will spend energy on Facebook, and they will text their friends, and they'll watch videos all day long, or maybe they'll play video games or watch television. But as far as something that, you know, requires effort to learn, yes, I'm the master of learning the hard way, but it does. But I like this stuff, though. I like work. It's been a pleasure being with you today. You're listening to KBGS FM 90.3, Jacksonville, Tyler, Longview.